I want to start off tonight with a story of my freshman year in college, way back in 1993. Yes, I am that old. But I remember it was 1993. It was my freshman year at Lee University. And I was with my friends, and keep in mind, I was not saved yet. But I was with my friends, and we were in the cafeteria. And I heard them talking about this place called the Cliffs. And, you know, it piqued my interest, so I asked them what the Cliffs were. And they said it's this place about 20 minutes from the campus, and it's this natural outcropping of rocks, and then there's a quarry where you could jump off of the cliffs, and into the quarry, and there was water there. So I said, we gotta go, so we went. And it was about a week later we went, and we drove up, and we had to hike through the woods to get there. But I remember pulling up and seeing the cliffs, and it was pretty impressive. There was a 30-foot jump, and there was about a 50-foot jump, and then there was about a 75-foot jump. Now, back then, like I said, I was not saved. So I was talking all kinds of smack to the people that were jumping off the 30-foot jump and the 50-foot jump. You know, I'm calling them all kinds of names that I cannot repeat here tonight. But I was, you know, just talking smack. Because when you stand at the bottom and you look up, 75 feet doesn't look that high. So I was, like, talking all kinds of smack, and so I said, I have to. After talking all that, I have to go to the top. So I'm not afraid of heights or anything, but I had to climb to the top. It was like those Hawaiian cliff jumpers, you know, you see them climbing up, and I climbed up to the top. And I remember this just like it was yesterday. I could see the horizon, and I'm walking up the cliff, and I got to the edge, and I looked down. And like I said, I'm not afraid of heights or anything, but I experienced fear at that moment like I've never experienced before. It was one of those fears, not just like, man, I'm scared. It was one of those fears that like grabs you and it's like in your entire body. And I remember standing there and I was looking down, and even to make it even more interesting, you had to like jump out over a bunch of rocks to hit the water. You couldn't just like jump, you had to jump out. So I was standing there and I'm like, this is a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. And, of course, all my friends were down there talking all kinds of smack because I'm standing up there and they could see the look of fear on my face. I was whiter than I normally am. And I was standing up there, and I just remember, I was like, I got to do this. I have to jump. I have no choice after talking all that smack. I have to jump. So I was like, all right, one, two, three. And I did that two or three times, and my body literally would not move. My body would not obey my mind. And I tried that three or four times. I was like, I have to do this. I contemplated going back, but I knew I would never live that down if I did. So I was standing there on the edge of that cliff for like 5 minutes, debating with myself, you know, holding a conversation in my head like, it was like, you know, it was like a courtroom scene. You know, I'm arguing against myself. You know, it's like the devil and the angel on the shoulder. It's like, I could die, but if I don't die and I turn back, I'll never hear the end of this. And I'm just arguing with myself. And then somehow, after about 5 minutes of just ridicule from my friends and me being paralyzed with fear, somehow, some way, I finally just said, forget it, I'm doing it. And I jumped. And it was terrifying, exhilarating, painful, because I landed on a belly flop, you know, but it was great because I confronted my fear. You know, that was the scaredest I've ever been, because I was literally facing death. And in fact, I found out a few weeks later that people have died jumping off the 75-foot cliff. So, you know, it was stupid. It was a dumb thing. But I look back now, and it's a memory to me, because I faced my fear. I stood on the edge of that cliff, and I jumped. Some of you tonight are on that cliff right now. You have decisions in your life that you have to make, and you do not know what to do. And this is not because I've talked to some of you or heard some things, because I have heard some things. But I know for a fact, some of you are facing life-changing decisions right now. And it feels like you're on the edge of the cliff. You can't go back, but you're afraid to go forward. Life is out there waiting for you, but it feels like you're like me. You're paralyzed, and you cannot jump. You cannot go. Now, when we come up with situations like this, we only have one place to turn for the answers. God, obviously. I mean, that's the obvious answers. And 99% of the time, God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. There are rare times when someone will come up and just say, blah, 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 and it's just like, wow. But 99% of the times, it's through his word. I hear so many people going, God, speak to me, speak to me. And God's like, I have. It's right there. It's black and white. All you got to do is open it up. We need to look into his word, because if you look into the word of God, the Bible is filled with people that were on that same cliff that you're on right now and jumped. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith. It's full of great men and women of God that did these awesome things, you know, for God, that saw miracles and all this stuff. But I like to think of it as the Hall of Cliff Jumpers, because they stood on that cliff and they jumped. Abraham, God, Abraham had a nice life. Man, he was rich. He was like the Bill Gates of his day. He was very rich. Abraham had a nice life, but one day Abraham's just minding his own business, and out of nowhere, he hears a voice. It's, Abraham, go to a land that I will give you. I will give you multiplied descendants, millions of people, but you just must go. So Abraham, I mean, that would scare me to death if I heard the actual voice of God, but he did. And Abraham did what God told him to do. He packed up all his stuff, all his peoples, all his things. He left the land where he was comfortable, and he went. Abraham stood on his cliff, and he jumped. Moses, y'all know who he is. Israel was in bondage to Egypt, and God said, Moses, go and free them. Okay. So Moses goes and says, the 3 million people. It wasn't just, you know, the movies, it shows like 100, 200 people. There were 3 million Israelites. And he goes and tells them, I am here to free you. And they're like, all right, we'll follow you. What do we got to lose? We're slaves. So they followed Moses. And there they are, 3 million people and Moses. The Egyptian army, the most powerful army in the world, is right behind them. And right in front of them, their only way out is the Red Sea. Nowhere to go. There's no way that they can get around it. So Moses did the logical thing. He took a stick, pointed it at the water, and told it to part. That's the logical thing. And it did part. Now we read this, we're like, yeah, the water parted. God told him, try it sometime. Casey, take your stick, go down to the inner harbor, point it at the Chesapeake Bay, and tell it to part. It's not as easy as it sounds. But Moses stood on his cliff, looked around, and jumped. David, a 14-year-old boy fighting a 13-foot-tall giant. All David had was a slingshot, 5 rocks, and faith in God. So he put the rock in the sling and had a hope and a prayer, and you know the rest of the story. David stood on the edge of his cliff, and he jumped. Each of these men, each of these people in the Bible were completely different, but they had one thing in common, and I want you to listen to me tonight, please. It's not, I know I say this, but it's not going to be a long message. They all had one thing in common. They did not play it safe. They knew that they had no control over when or how they died, but they did know they had control over how they lived, and they lived life to the fullest. They did not buy into the lie that following God was a bed of roses, that it was going to be easy. They knew that God is a dangerous God, and sometimes he requires his followers to get into dangerous situations. We pray and pray and pray for miracles. I've done it. I've done it a million times. I pray for miracles. But we do everything in our power to avoid situations that would require a miracle. More than likely, God is not going to do a miracle right here. We don't need a miracle. Somebody comes up in here, it's sick, we take them up to the hospital. You know, somebody, you know, whatever, we can do it ourselves. But we avoid situations where we need miracles. But the door that we fear the most might be the door that God could use to change our lives. The door that we're afraid to open could have God waiting on the other side going, come on, just open it, just do it, jump, jump. God is looking for some cliff jumpers in this generation. People that are not afraid to risk all that they have for all that could be. People just like you that get to the edge of their cliff and just say, you know what? I am sick and tired of watching life pass me by. So God, I don't know if you're going to catch me or not, but I'm jumping anyway. Cliff jumpers. Cliff jumping is dangerous and exhilarating. It is illogical, but it's thrilling. It's the craziest thing you've ever done in your life and the most incredible thing that you've ever done in your life. Really quick tonight, I want to look at some cliff jumpers in the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. You won't be able to see, but that's okay. Just turn to the book of Joshua chapter 3. I want to look at some cliff jumpers in the Bible and see if we can learn something today from them. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'll explain it in a second. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you do not come any closer. Now the Israelites had been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, waiting for the opportunity to go live in the land that God promised them. You know, we throw this figure around all the time, 40 years. Yeah, God had them wandering for 40 years, like it's no big deal. But imagine that, 40 years. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like God speaking. If we heard the voice of God tonight and he said, I want you to have a coffee house in Bel Air. It's going to be an amazing coffee house. Thousands of people are going to be saved. You're going to bring revolution to the entire area. But you need to wait to the year 2046 before this happens. And until then, I want you to wander around in the woods for the next 40 years. Mr. Paul, you'd be 150 years old by then. I'm just kidding. He'd only be like 60. But that's what happened to the Israelites. You know, God said, I got a great piece of land for you guys. You know, it's everything that you could ever dream of. It's all yours, but all you have to do is go get it. But because of a huge mistake that they made, which I'll talk about in a second, they had to wander around in the desert for 40 years before they could go get it. So here they are. They've been waiting for 40 years for this moment. They were finally leaving the desert, and they were finally going into the land that God promised to them. And here comes Joshua, their leader, and this is what he tells them. Verse 6. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. So here they all go. There's the priest and 3 million people following Joshua to the promised land. But I can picture the further they get, people begin to whisper to each other. They're like, wait a minute. How are we going to get to the promised land? Did Joshua forget that the Jordan River is right in front of us? You know, I guess he completely forgot that. How are we supposed to get across the Jordan River? This is what happened next. That's the Jordan River. I think it was bigger back then, but that's a picture of the Jordan River today. Verse 14. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. That is very important right there. So not only do they have to get across the Jordan River, but now they got to go across a river that's completely flooded. And they knew that that was not a wise thing to do. You do not just wade across a river that's flooded. My great-grandfather found this out the hard way. He had a brother. And they lived in South Carolina, and there was a creek right behind their house. And him and his brother loved to swim in the creek. But one day they went to swim, and the creek was flooded. And they began to wade out into the creek, and the current was so strong and so fast, it took my great-grandfather's brother and swept him away. And they never saw him again. You cannot just go wading out. And that was a little creek. This was a river, the mightiest river around there. You can't just go wading out into a creek, into a river that's flooded. But God told Joshua, go. And he would take care of the details. At that very moment, Joshua was standing on his cliff. He had a decision to make. A decision that was going to affect him and 3 million other people. At this very moment, he had a choice to make: jump or go back, retreat, trust God, or live a safe, nice little boring life. Joshua knew that this was his moment, and he was not going to let it pass him by. So he said, all right, they're standing at the river, it's flooded. So he's like, I'm sure he probably went, all right, y'all ready? And everybody's like, ready for what? What are we going to do, fly over the river? And he's like, let's go, let's do this. And this is what happened. As soon as the feet of the priest who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Here is the cool thing about this story. When the priests put their feet in the water began to pile up like bricks, like a wall. But I know you're probably saying, so what? According to historians, the town of Adam was 20 miles away from where they put their feet in the water. So in other words, when they stepped into the water right in front of them did not split. It was not like the Red Sea. When they put their feet in the water, it began to pile up 20 miles up the road where they couldn't see anything. So that means that these priests stood in the river for a long time before anything happened. 3 million people are standing on the banks of this river watching these priests struggling. Not only were they had to stand there, but they had to hold the Ark of the Covenant on top of their shoulders. So they're standing there in this raging river going, all right, I know Joshua said it was going to part, but this is getting a little tiring now. When is it going to part? When is this going to happen? Can you picture it? I know the priests were thinking, nothing is happening. God said he's going to do this, but here we are. We're being obedient and nothing is happening. That's how we are. We expect God to give us miracles immediately. And if it doesn't happen right away, we quit and we give up and we go home. But God does not work on our schedules. He does things when he does things for a reason. So the priests and all the people were there waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're struggling in the water. Then all of a sudden they begin to see the water. Like, imagine that scene. This isn't a story that's happened. They're standing there in the water holding this, and all of a sudden they look up, and it gets closer and closer and closer, and then the water just begins to pile up like a wall. And all of a sudden, right in front of them, they look, and the river is completely dry. And this is what they did. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priest who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. What an incredible moment. They just witnessed a miracle that they would never forget, a miracle that allowed them to get where they wanted to go. But the only reason this happened was because Joshua was a cliff jumper. Because he stood on the edge of his cliff and he jumped. He got to his cliff, he looked over the edge, and he said, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we are jumping. No matter what, we're jumping, we're going. Now, this was all great. This was phenomenal. But 40 years earlier, the nation of Israel was on that same cliff, but something very bad happened. 40 years earlier, okay, we saw what just happened there. The reason they had to wander around in the desert for 40 years is because Moses was in charge back then. And he said, all right, it's time to go get our land. It's time to get what belongs to us. And he said, all right, I'm sending 12 spies to go over there and spy it out, to see what it's like. So he sent these 12 spies, and they went over there. And they came back, and they're like, it is incredible. They got grapes like this big. You know, it's like milk and honey flowing everywhere. It's everything you could ever imagine. So everybody's like, great, let's go, let's do it. But then 10 of them go, wait a second, 1 minute. The people there are like giants. We look like grasshoppers in comparison to them. There's no way that we can do this. There's no way that we can win. Two of them said, hey, it don't matter how big they are. God said we can do it, let's do it. But the people got scared. They got on the edge of their cliff, and they looked down, and they saw what they saw scared them. And instead of going forward, they went back. And God got mad. God got ticked off. And he's like, all right, I told you, all you got to do is go. But you won't even go? You're going to go somewhere else for 40 years. You're just going to wander. Imagine that. He speaks to us and say, you see those woods over there? You're going to go wander in them for 40 years. Till I'm 70, I would have to go wander around in those woods because I didn't get to my cliff and jump. That's exactly what happened to them. They got to the edge of their cliff and they backed away. They missed their moment. This is what God wants us to understand tonight. Can I get everybody's attention? I haven't been preaching that long. Every moment in life is priceless. It is unique. It's unrepeatable. Man, I feel this. I feel this tonight. Somebody, this is coming at the exact right time for somebody. The people that changed the world all have one thing in common. They don't just watch life. They don't just think about it. They don't just wish someone else would do something about it. They do something about it. When they get on the edge of their cliff, they don't just look around and wait and contemplate and wonder what they should do. They go. They jump. But the problem with so many of us that we call ourselves Christians is that we're stuck in neutral. We're afraid to jump because we're afraid to make mistakes. I've come to realize I was this way with starting Fusion. I wanted to do everything perfect. I didn't want to make mistakes. I didn't want you guys to come in here and go, oh, this is cheesy or something like that. But you know what? I got to the point I realized this ain't about me. And I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make lots of them. Listen to this. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor for a lack of ideas. He also went bankrupt 7 times before he ever built Disneyland. Michael Jordan, my favorite basketball player, did not make his high school basketball team in his sophomore year. Beethoven, the great composer, his teacher called him hopeless as a composer. Winston Churchill, Dave's man, failed the 6th grade. In fact, he did not become prime minister until he was 62. His greatest contributions to the world came when he almost was ready to die. Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Automobile, went broke 5 times before he finally succeeded. These men changed the world because they always jumped. Even if they failed, to them, it was okay to fail. Just fail big. Make it count for something. If you're going to fail, be the biggest failure in the world. Make it count. They always chose to jump. They knew that if you fail to choose, you choose to fail. A lot of times, and this is my observation, we get to the edge of our cliff. Some of you are at the edge of your cliff right now. When we get to the edge of our cliff, life is out there for the taking. All we have to do is jump. But we say that we're waiting on God. A lot of times I think God is up in heaven going, you're not waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. Do something. Don't just sit there. Have you ever been stuck in traffic behind someone at a red light? Maybe on that day you're in a rush. Maybe you were on your way to Fusion and you're late or something. And you're in a rush. You wherever you want to go, you got to get there quick. And you get to this red light. This is what ticks me off, which it shouldn't because I know Jesus wouldn't do this. But when the light's yellow, but the person in front of you stops, they could go. Yellow doesn't mean stop. It means go faster. But they stop. So you're stuck there. You're in a rush. You're stuck behind this one car in the red light. So you're watching that red light with like intense focus. You're checking all the other lights. Okay, that's yellow. This is about to turn green. That's going to turn green. So you're like watching it. And then you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And then finally, it changes to green. You take your foot off the brake. You put your foot on the gas. But then at that moment, you realize that the person in front of you is completely unaware that they have permission to go. They're either looking, talking on a cell phone or checking their rearview mirror or adjusting their radio, whatever the case may be. Do you know what I think? Move it. The light does not get any greener than this. We wait and we wait and we wait on God when all the time the light is green. And God is saying, hey, it doesn't get any greener than this. It's as green as it's going to get. God moves when we move. When we do like the priest and say, hey, I don't know where this is going to take me. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm jumping. I truly believe that God is waiting on someone that will actually trust him and act on his word. There is much, listen to this. This is my last sentence, so listen hard. There is so much that God wants to do with us that can only be seen after we already begin to do it. We're not going to see what it's going to look like until we start to do it, until we just jump, until we take the leap of faith. There's so many things in life that we never experience because we don't jump, because we don't do it. In other words, it's time to jump. It's just time to do it. I don't know what you're facing tonight, what your decision is. Next week, I'm going to talk about when to jump. Sometimes it is good to just stand there and get some wisdom. Next week, I want to talk about the will of God. Because a lot of times people blame stuff on God, and God's going, I don't know what you're talking about. I told them to jump a long time ago, and they're blaming me. But I feel that Fusion, I'll just be honest with you. I don't know where else to do, what else to do. I don't know where else to go. I'm desperate to see God do something. I've talked about this revolution. We prayed. It's just time to jump. It's just time to do it. In fact, I'm jumping out right now and telling you this. Starting in June, we are going to pray every Friday night. 24-7 prayer. I guess it's just 24 prayer. We're going to pray every Friday night until school starts. And if I'm going to be the only one there, then I'll be the only one there. But I know God has revealed in his word that one thing that will work is prayer. So I'm going to jump. I'm going to do it. I'm looking for some people to jump with me. I'm not calling you into something that's safe. God is not safe. And you know what? I contemplated not preaching this because some of your parents might get mad at me. But you know what? I would rather you jump and make a huge mistake than never jump at all and regret it for the rest of your life. Do something. Do something. Some of you feel like God is calling you to the mission field. Go. Go. I would hate to lose you, but man, that would be awesome. Some of you feel like you're supposed to do this or that. Do it. If God is not speaking to you, say don't. You know, the great people in the Bible just went forward until God stopped them. Read about Paul. He was just trying all kinds of different stuff until the Holy Spirit finally said, Paul, don't do that. But Paul was always on the move. He was always doing something. He always jumped. I am looking for cliff jumpers. Man, I believe fully with my entire being that God is going to transform the school system this fall. But it's only going to happen if we jump. It's only going to happen if we pray our guts out. I need people to jump with me. I don't have all the answers. I don't. I need people to jump with me. We're just going to start doing it. We'll see what happens. Like Jonathan. Jonathan went out. He said, maybe God will help. Maybe he won't. But we're going to do it anyway. I need jumpers. Can I get you to stand? Can I get you to just close your eyes and we can... Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to just speak to us, God. Lord, we're willing. Well, no, what, you know what? I'm going to stop this prayer right now. If, like I said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where we're going, but I'm ready to jump. If you want to jump with me, And I'm going to say a prayer, but I want to say it over people that are willing and serious. Could you just take a step forward and join me down here, and then we're going to pray and just ask God to speak to us and show us where to jump, show us where to go, at least take us to the cliff. I appreciate it. Father, right now, we just come to your presence, God, the willing. Lord, like Jonathan, when he turned to his armor bearer and said, "Let's go," the armor bearer said, "I'm with you." Father, these people have come and they said, "We're with you." Lord, I ask you right now to just take us to our cliff. Move us out of this place and take us to our cliff. Lord, I pray that when these people that go to Huckleberry's, take them to their cliff. Give them a divine opportunity and then give them the strength to jump, to begin to change the atmosphere around them. Lord, we surrender to you right now. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. But God, we are willing to do whatever you want us to do. Whatever you want us to do, Jesus, we will do it. God, I pray that you would just give us the courage to take that leap, to take that step of faith that makes no sense to us but makes a world of sense to you. God, lead us. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Today, tomorrow, God, I pray that each one of us would get up out of bed and realize this is our day to change the world. God, I pray that we would seize the power of every moment. We would squeeze the life out of it and never look back in regret. I thank you. I thank you for this group of people. God, I pray that you would take this group of people in front of me and make them warriors. Make them soldiers for you. God, soldiers that are willing to pray when everyone else is playing. God, willing to intercede when everyone else is sleeping. God, raise up soldiers and raise up warriors, I ask you. God, start to burn in their hearts right now. Burn inside of them, oh God, like an inferno that cannot be put out, that cannot be shrugged off, God, that the only thing they can do is go. The only thing they can do is jump. Oh, change us, Holy Spirit. We ask you in Jesus' name.